Now, we're going to begin today with what has been unfolding in the Middle East, both in terms of strikes and threats back and forth between Israel and Iran overnight and indeed this morning. I'm joined now by Gareth Brown, who reports for The Economist in the Middle East. He's currently based in Beirut. Good afternoon to you, Gareth. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
The bombing continues today. What's the latest as you understand it?
Yeah, I think both Iran and Israel are sort of picking up the pieces after, some serious exchanges of missile fire overnight. Iran fired some 200 missiles at Israel, and a not insignificant number of those got through and hit targets in Israel, at least three dead, including in suburbs of Tel Aviv and the city centre of Tel Aviv itself. And on the Iranian side, the IDF claims to have killed nine key figures in Iran's nuclear program. These are scientists who were playing, important roles in building Iran's nuclear weapons, as well as striking a number of military sites, air defences overnight. And, just this morning, the IDF chief of staff saying that the way to Tehran has been paved.
So what are both sides saying at the political leadership level at that point? I mean, you've given us the military assessment from the Israeli side there, but on the political level, what are they saying?
Well, I think you've seen a real change in rhetoric on the Israeli side in the last 24 hours. Prime Minister Netanyahu gave a speech yesterday, and what started off as rhetoric, which focused on Iran's nuclear program, really increasingly resembles a push for regime change in Tehran. On the Iranian side, equally, I think there's little interest in de-escalation. I think increasingly the Iranian leadership is seeing this as an existential threat, an existential conflict. Now, the two sides were meant to meet this weekend for nuclear talks, these U.S. brokered negotiations, and that looks very unlikely to happen. There's still so much heat in this fire. I think the chances of negotiations over Iran's nuclear program are quite remote at the minute.
And a UN conference on a two-state solution for Israel and Palestine stood down, with the Gulf attendees cancelling their attendance at that because of their concern what's going on. What is the level of concern in the region around Israel and Iran?
I think it's not insignificant that fear of a wider regional war, a hot war between Israel and Iran has been on the agenda for months, even years. It's always been there, but now it looks like it's actually happening. I mean, at the minute, to be frank, it seems that Iran's ability to inflict damage on Israel is actually quite limited. Israel has total domination and air superiority. And so, you have to ask, can this much-feared regional war, to what extent can it actually break down if one side is so overwhelmingly dominant? I think the fear regionally is that whilst these, tensions play out between Iran and Israel, we see what's happening in Gaza, in the West Bank, these other, regional crises are ongoing, even getting worse.
I mean, is there a sense that Israel wasn't going to pass up this opportunity? As you say, Hezbollah and Hamas neutralized Syria's air defense, eliminated by Israel following the change of regime, and there, which allows them to overfly the country. If they were ever going to strike Iran, now is the time, and some cover being provided to them by the International Atomic Agency declaring Iran being in breach of its nuclear non-proliferation obligations.
I think you can definitely make the argument that this is a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-generation opportunity for Israel to either completely destroy the Iranian nuclear program or force regime change in Tehran. As you rightly point out, Iran's network of proxies across the region really has been decimated, this axis of resistance. It doesn't really exist anymore. And some of these details about the beginning of this operation from the Israeli side are starting to leak out. Hundreds of Mossad operatives on the ground, drones being smuggled into the country, a secret drone base being operated by Israel from within Iranian borders. So this has probably been many months, if not years, in the making, but they sort of had some international coverage, some cover. To be frank, they haven't had as much criticism as you might have expected when you consider, the international criticism, especially from their allies in America and in Europe, that built up over the last 18 months with regards to their assault on Gaza. So I think this was perfect moment. And Netanyahu is probably looking at his legacy. Here it is, after all of the furore over Gaza the last 2 years. Now he has an opportunity to force regime change in Iran, and that could be what he's remembered for, rather than the devastating mess that Gaza's been left in.
And Britain and France, who had been critical of Israel recently, now being perhaps put in the position where they will be involved in the defence of Israel, and Iran threatening them if they do take that role.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've already seen American involvement in shooting down missiles and perhaps some European involvement. I don't think there's been British involvement in defending Israel, but, you know, there is a European consensus sort of forming around the defense of Israel once again. And this is going to test Iran's ability and capacity to respond. And it seems quite frail, militarily speaking. But, you know, over the decades, we've seen Iran respond in unorthodox methods, let's say, to what they perceive as aggression. So that's probably something that the European powers and the UK will be looking for. You know, is an Iranian response to British support of Israel going to come in a military sense, or is there something that might happen, you know, regarding soft targets, whether in the Gulf, in Europe itself, embassies? You know, I think everything is a potential target at the minute.
As you'll appreciate, Gareth, there's great interest in Lebanon, where you are now. Is anything likely to reignite there? People will be concerned, obviously, about Irish troops in South Lebanon in the event of any conflict between Hezbollah and Israel. How likely is that?
I think that's very unlikely. I mean, Hezbollah's pretense as an armed actor is really a thing of the past at the minute. It's been so decimated by Israel in the last year. It doesn't have the capability to really even launch rockets. It struggles to fight against Israeli troops who are on Lebanese territory, let alone inflicting damage on Israel, on Israelis or Israeli targets inside Israel, or defending the regime in Iran. So there's a question of capability on Hezbollah's part. But I also think the political circumstances in Lebanon just wouldn't permit that. I think a lot of people are angry with Hezbollah for dragging them into that war with Israel last year. And I don't think that Hezbollah could sell participation in a regional war on behalf of Iran to the Lebanese people. They won't stand for it. And if they try to do something like that, they'll probably face a lot of domestic unrest at home.
All right, Gareth Brown, many thanks for that. I'll introduce our political panel joining us this week, and we'll be hearing from Paul Murphy, who has been released from detention in Egypt, after this.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.